Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I just pray that you just continue that to reveal yourself to us this morning through your living word and through what you want to say through me, Lord. We just surrender what I've got prepared here so it impacts our hearts and minds, Lord, so we come to know you better and we can become more like Christ-like in what you want us to say and do through our lives. Lord, just do us good through your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our sort of series on unity as it continues on. And God gave me this to show you. Here you go. This is a piece of baler twine we use for baling hay and haylage and straw and the rest of it. And he said, just look at it for a minute and see how many strands there are in it. And he said, each one of these is a person. Each one of these is a person. And what's happened is it's all bound together. And he says, that is a ministry. So if you're part of a ministry, you're, or connect group, or whatever you wanted to be in, you are bound together as one unit. And then he said, well, what about another ministry? And the other ministries that you have in the church, what if we bind those together? What if we take, I don't know, for example, Easy Worship, music group, PA, you could be set up, set down, tea and coffee, it could be Servolution, Compassion, street pastors. And what we do here is we continue to bind those ministries that sort of get together. It could be the teaching team, kids' church and creche, who look at God's word. It could be the leadership, eldership, trustees maybe. And what we do is we continue to bind these three together. I'll not carry on. So, okay, we've got three ministries together. So what happens when we bind three ministries with three ministries? Well, like Blue Peter, I prepared one earlier. Suddenly, it becomes very strong. Suddenly, it starts to become impenetrable. Suddenly, it becomes unbreakable. Now, you could carry on. This is as far as I got. And I started thinking, well, what about churches together? What about all the churches in Ormskirk binding themselves together? Does that not make it even stronger? And then you can go beyond that, can't you, really? You could just keep going and keep going and binding Christian brothers and sisters together, no matter what their church is, no matter what country they're in. The more you bind this thing together, the stronger and stronger it becomes. Because the enemy's biggest hate is you and me. Because he loves, as Adrian said this morning, to destroy that peace. He loves to come in and divide and conquer and separate and make us vulnerable. I want you to turn to John 17. Now, we're not going to read it all, because it's quite a long passage. But basically, John 17 is Jesus praying. Jesus, it actually, not in my Bible, unfortunately, it's broken into sort of three subsections. Jesus starts off praying for himself, because this is at a point now where he's going to start getting arrested and start to face the cross. So this is where Jesus is now praying for himself to be unified with the Father. The middle section is where he starts praying for his disciples, those people he's met on the way, that they too may come together and be unified through him. And then the third piece is actually when he starts to pray for fellow believers, the people like you and me. We will read from, if I can remember, verse 14. Now, it's a little bit sort of repetitive, this, but we'll go for it. I have given you my word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But I do not ask you to take them from the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, so they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for this only, but for all those who believe in me through their word. In other words, you and me. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be us, so that the world may believe that they have sent me. The glory that is given to me, I have given to them, that they may become one, even as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them as you have loved me. You know, when you signed up for Jesus, you signed up for battle. We signed up for a war. And it's daily. In fact, I'd go far to say it's actually hourly in some cases, where we constantly try and keep going. But the battle, you know, is not flesh. The battle is spiritual. The battle is between Satan and God. That's who's fighting up there in the heavenlies. And what Jesus wants us to do is to unite under his name, under his banner. Because for me, John 17 is probably one of the most significant pieces of scripture. Because this is where you find Jesus, before he goes to the Father, on his knees, praying for his people. He is on his knees praying for you and me. Way before he becomes an intercessor at the Father's right hand. His heart's desire is for you and me. And what is he praying for? Unity. Because Jesus realizes from that point, the only way the enemy is going to be defeated is if we unite together under his name. Because the only way we can really succumb or stop succumbing to the worldly efforts is to die to self. To allow the Holy Spirit to have 100% of our life. That is the only way we will feel true victory. Does anybody here have 100% death so the Holy Spirit can come in? No. Because it's difficult, isn't it? It's hard. And Jesus knew this at this point, that he knew that this would be a struggle for us. Because if there's any sign of human instinct in us, there's a way in for the enemy. If there's any sign of any human instinct in us, there is a way in for the enemy. But the one way to combat this tension, this battle, is to unify ourselves as a body of Christ. To come together as one. No matter what it is you bring, it comes together. I don't know whether you watch Officer and the Gentleman, the film, whether you watch it or not, but there's a character which Richard Gere sort of plays, and he comes from a lowly background, and he's very competitive to start with, and he's all about himself. It's all about me. It's all about achieving this for me. And he becomes part of a team and a unit, and they're doing an assault course. And it's sort of coming to the middle of the end of the film, and everybody's cheering him on because he's going to break the record of this assault course. That's all his goal has ever been, is to break the record of this assault course. But one of the other characters is a young girl, only small, tiny, and always has this problem of getting over the assault wall, always having the problem. And through the film, you see her two or three times being told to walk around it and walk around it. Anyway, they come together, and Richard Gere comes charging up to this wall and legs it over, two steps and over he goes, and this poor girl's going, can't get over. And he stops in his tracks, and he stops and thinks for a minute, and he actually walks around and joins her and comes alongside her and goes, come on, we can do this together. And he steps one, two, one, two, and he's screaming at her, saying, come on, keep up with me, keep up with me. And eventually she gets to the top of the wall, and everybody goes, yay! And she carries on. He doesn't get the record. And I just think now, at the minute, this is what Jesus does to us when we're weak, when we're vulnerable, when we can't face that wall. He comes alongside and says, come on, we can do this. Because the strongest part of any person, any unit together, is its weakest point. We are only as strong as our weakest point. This is why it is vital that we are a unit. This is why it's vital that we come together. So if there's a weak point in us, we can get around it. We can pray about it. We can get Jesus on it and say, come on, this is what we need. See, like any army, it has one common purpose: to stand and defend what it believes in. You know, in World War I, one of the biggest reasons Germany lost was not because they had the biggest, strongest army, which they did. Their trench warfare was far beyond what the Allies could ever build. The reason why they lost is they were not unified as an army. Because what happened in the latter days, when they made the charge for it in 1917, they went for it. And what they forgot to do was bring everybody else in behind them. So they end up with all the infantry charging forward, but they forget the medical staff, the catering, the armoury, and everything else that an army needs to function with. A great big chasm opened up, and the Allies just came in behind them, took them apart, and that was it. I was looking up on the internet, on Google, as you do, on the army. We've got two army people here, so I'm very nervous at the minute about all of this. Thankfully, they're sitting at the back, keeping very, very quiet. But did you know there's 200 roles in the army? 200 roles in the army. There's the infantry, there's intelligence, there's the commandos, the SAS, logistics. Wow. But you know there's also plumbers, plasterers, electricians, catering. Did you know? There's actually a fuel officer. A fuel officer. And this guy, his ultimate job is to make sure every fuel tank is filled. It seems a bit of a lowly job, doesn't it? Seems a bit rubbish. But let's face it, nobody's going anywhere without fuel in a tank, are they? The infantry can go as far as they like, but if they haven't got backup with fuel in tanks and artillery and the rest of it, they're going to be stuffed, aren't they? Every role in the army has a point, has a reason to be there. No matter what it is, nothing's greater, nothing lesser. Everything comes together. Nobody compares themselves with each other. And the biggest thing the army ever does is watch out for each other. They watch each other's backs. They watch out for weaknesses. They come together and say, that needs sorting. We need to talk that out. Their biggest thing is to watch each other's backs. Sometimes they go to war without even realizing why they're going. Don't you? Yeah. But they faithfully go. They faithfully go and make a stand for something they believe in, ultimately. You see, if we leave ourselves wide open, the enemy can have a go. Now, it's quite easy to cut one strand. But you try and cut six or seven, and it's virtually impossible to do. And this is what the enemy tries to do. Picks out the vulnerable, those sitting alone, those sitting without unity, quite easy to break off. Those that are united together cannot be broken. And I realized when I did this, I put a knot in the top. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity at the top, holding it all together. Like Tom said, shalom, everything together, everything in unity, everything in harmony, all coming together as one. See, Jesus realized we're in a battleground. And he prays for his followers to be unified, just as the Trinity is. Shalom, together. Not of this world, but in it. You see, we need to be the salt and light of this world, out there doing. And the enemy wants to bind us up, doesn't he? Shut us up. He doesn't want us out there. He wants us in here, where he keeps us quiet. You know, Sunday morning, I think the enemy's going, yeah, they're all in here now. At least they're shut in a one room. Monday to Saturday, he's going, if we really are going for Jesus, if we really are going for Jesus, are we? Because he hates that. It gets him into a flat panic. See, if his followers are united together, we will bear much fruit. That's what it says in John 15. The branches, we've spoken about this before, I think somebody covered it a couple of weeks ago, about the branches being connected to the stalk. That's what we're here for. We're here to bear fruit for him. But a branch on its own ain't going to do it. In fact, a branch on its own is going to die. The only way we will bear fruit is to be connected to him. United as one body. You know, if any part of the body, as we know, isn't functioning right, like Mike's neck and shoulder, it's painful, isn't it? You know, and suddenly Mike's like this and he can't move properly. I mean, my shoulders are killing. I've had a problem with this shoulder for about 6-9 months now. And I'm trying to do this at work and I'm going, because it's so painful. And it's not functioning right. I cannot function right because part of my body is in pain. It's a weakness. And just like in the church, if there is a weakness in the church, we need to get on top of it. We need to cover it in prayer. We need to destroy it. Because the enemy will play at it. And the enemy will come in and say, there's a weakness there. And we need to go, no, there isn't. No, there isn't. See, we have a role to play. Everybody in here has a role to play. And like the army, they don't compare to each other what they're doing. Because this is a danger we all fall into. We start to compare ourselves with each other. We go down this road of comparison, thinking, oh, he's got a more exciting position in the church than I have. He's the infantry in the SAS. I'm just a fuel officer. That is not how it works, folks. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody, as Jim said last week, is vital to this Christian movement. And Jesus wants to get that across to you this morning. If nothing else, you count. You count. It's not just the leaders and the elders up there somewhere trying to drive it along. And just because Irene makes the tea and coffee, that's it. Irene's not that important. She's the most important person in this church, I tell you. Because she's the one who gets up every week to make tea and coffee without moaning, without saying anything. She is the strongest person in this church. Amen? Amen. Because without her, we don't get that. We have a vital role to play. I've embarrassed her now. See, by faith, we need to stand. In this battleground called the world, we need to stand by faith. Knowing the Holy Spirit, knowing the Trinity's got it all in control anyway. Knowing that we stand in victory. Yeah? We stand in victory. The problem is we don't feel that victory because we isolate ourselves from it. Our humanness comes through and says, I can cope with this, I can do that. God's saying, no. The only true way you will find victory is you come under the banner of Jesus Christ. Under his power, under his name, then you will start feeling the victory. Not as individuals either, but as a unified church. And I'm not just talking OCF, I'm talking the church. Because then we will have a voice. Then the world will sit up and take note. Then the world will say, hold on a minute. And then the enemy goes, ah! Because he knows he's completely defeated anyway. He's only got a hold on you and me because we allow him. I'll say that again. He's only got a hold on you and me because we allow him. Hebrews 11, 32, 35. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead for resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might be risen again to a better life. And what it doesn't say there is they didn't do it under their own strength. They didn't do it by themselves. They did it by unifying themselves. They did it by unifying themselves to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's how they defeated. That's how they won the mighty wars. That's how they said what needed to be said. Not through what they wanted to do or what they wanted to say, but by uniting themselves with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, by faith, we stand for a greater kingdom to come. That's what we stand for, a greater kingdom to come. We need to show this world there is a better thing than out there. A better life, a better way. A kingdom waiting for them. That's beyond even our imaginations. We've got a world out there that needs to hear the gospel, friends. We've got a world out there who is dying. Dying. And we have life in us. We have life in us. And we need to show that life to those people out there. That's all we're asked to do. That's all we're asked to do. And it isn't easy when you try to do it on your own strength. You try to do it on your own. Because when you're on your own, you become very fragmented. You become easy pickings for the enemy. You know, a lion will only take off the small, weedly little giraffe, won't it? Or gazelle. It won't go for the strong herd in the middle of it all. He picks off the one that is straddling or weak or poor or whatever. And this is when you watch some of these wildlife programs, if you watch them, some of these herds actually go round and make sure the weaker ones are in the middle. They actually make sure the weaker ones and the younger ones are in the middle. So whatever the herd does, who's ever vulnerable is in sitting in there, and they don't get picked off. And we need to be the same. And this is the hardest bit, we need to admit our weaknesses sometimes, don't we? I'm hopeless for it. I'm a man, see, so I don't have weakness. I'm a man. I can't do that. Do I do? Yeah. No. But this is what it's about. We need to come together. We need to realise that we are weak in places. That we are vulnerable every now and again. And it may not be you this week, but it could be next week or next month. But we need to unify ourselves. Tighten it up even. That there's no way in for that enemy to pick off what's going to be weak. Friends, we need to understand our roles in this church. Not by comparing with each other, but by contributing to the whole. Standing under that banner of Jesus, that powerful name that took the enemy and blew him apart. See, there's no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. There is no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. You are all important. As Jim said last week, we are all vital. See, the body doesn't operate unless everything is functioning together. So what's your role in church? I'll say that again. What's your role in this church? Do you know what your role is in church? If you don't, you can come up and pray for you. Is your role changing? I mean, by word, my role has changed over the last 15 years. If I look back of all the steps God's taken me through to this point, and who knows beyond? Are we willing to change? Or do we just hold on to that role and say, that's mine, and nobody else is having it? Guilty of that, folks. You know, this is my bit. I've always done this. Nobody else can do this, surely. Nobody can put out the chairs as straight as me. Can they, Tom? No. You know, we get frightened of letting things go. I mean, God's been really challenging me over the last 6-9 months of all the things I do in church and beyond. And he's seriously saying, Guy, Mark, you need to let go of this stuff and entrust me so that somebody else can do it. And it's been a real battle, I tell you, because it's not in my character to let things go. But I know God's got other things over here that he wants me to concentrate on and to get into. Are you there? Are you at that point? Are you wishing for somebody else's role? You know, that sounds like a good role. You know, that sounds brilliant. Yeah, I only put chairs out, but, you know, we've got people up here speaking into the microphone and praying and prophetic words are coming out, but I only put the chairs out. Hello? If you didn't put the chairs out, there'd be nowhere to sit for this prophetic person. We have a role to play. I know more seemed more grabbing than others, but you are important. Get to know your role in this church. So individually, we can come together as a body, unified under the banner of Jesus, to go and make a difference to that world that's dying out there. Not relying it on our own strength or our own will, but surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit, who's got the true power to change this world. Let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I thank you that under your name we have the power. Under your name we are vital. Lord, and I pray this morning that you reveal to each and every one of us the places you want us to be, that true place, wherever it is. So we become a vital part of that cog of the body, where we can unify together as one. Not through our own strength or our own will, but under your banner, Lord. That we may impact a dying world out there. That they may know to come Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Lord, I pray too that if you are any weaknesses here, that you reveal it. Lord, we want to encapture that and reveal it so the enemy has no way in. Lord, we ask that you just unify us together under that body of Christ. Reveal the roles to us right now, that we become one under your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. You can.
Just off the back of your sermon. So Mark's just used military metaphors there, massively. Military metaphors there, massively. And this might seem completely incoherent, so apologies for that. So in the army you have six principles of war. Okay, the first principle of war is selection and maintenance of the aim. And if you're doing anything in your daily activities or any operation, you're doing anything that doesn't support that selection and maintenance of the aim, you don't do it. There's no point in doing it. It's just wasted energy completely. So for me, I was just listening to Mark and thinking, so what is this? What is our aim? What have we selected as our aim? And the selection and maintenance of the aim is that, isn't it? Closer to God, closer to others, closer together. I'm massively guilty. I don't come to church on Sundays because I work and stuff like that, and that's something I hate. I prefer to be here, but needs must, and I made a choice. I think I'm as guilty as other people. I remember last week I was here because I'm on paternity leave now. Dave Much standing at the front here, and he was talking about the training for the 25th of June, and I didn't do anything. I just, like, yeah, okay, cheers, mate. Yeah, train for a barbecue. You know, and very, very guiltily so. And, you know, Mark's sermon there is a direct challenge. And if you're not sitting there and thinking this is a direct challenge to me and it should be slapping you in the face, it seriously should, you know, because it's so often that we all sit here, you know, I'm guilty as more than anyone, really. I carry on with my busy life. I don't really get involved that much. You know, I'm involved in Connect, which is a great, great support for me and a great outlet for my faith. You know, it's the only sort of outlet, really. But I think if you're not sitting here and you're not directly challenged, you need to go away from here and start thinking, how can I actually get involved? And I remember Mark is a great advocate for you know, just any task. I remember when we were in Edgehill University, tidying away, etc., you know, and don't underestimate that part that you play for the church. But I really want to just sort of support Mark's message there. It's really slapped me in the face. And that we should all be leaving here and be directly challenged of, okay, so what can I do? What can I do? Where can I go? You know, And also, there's a lot of empty seats, and you know, for whatever reason, but there's a numerous people in our number that we need to definitely reach out to, and not just pay lip service to that, like massively reach out to now. You know, if a name comes into your head, that's the first thing you need to do when you leave here, send them a text. How are you? Missed you at church. Let's meet up for a coffee and whatever. And there's, you know, and also sort of a tangible sort of, you know, prayer's great and it is great and I need to do more of that. But I think we should be challenged to come up with some tangible output that we're going to come up with an effect here. You know, who do I need to reach out to? You know, so we've got the praise in the park. And if you're not going to, if you're thinking, well, I'm not going to go to that, reconsider your diary, I would say. You know, because that's closer to others, isn't it? Outside the church, massively closer to others. These are really key vehicles, which I think some of us pay lip service to. And I say, you know, I'm as guilty as more than most, you know, pay lip service to that. But if you're sitting here, you know, you're in the club, you're in the kingdom, but we really need to be a more active part of that, you know. And I suppose my challenge to people is that I believe we had connect groups before with the church and they sort of died away, and there's a few connect groups going now, and you know, that really has a massive help for me in my faith, massive help, you know, to talk to like-minded people and people I can trust, because I work for a business where I don't really trust many people. In the army, you're right, you can trust pretty much most people as your brother and they will dig out blind for you, but not in the line of work I'm in at the moment. But this is, you know, you're surrounded by people that actually genuinely care and actually believe in you and will help you. And, you know, I think we all need to be going away and thinking and incubating on, right, how do I now support the aim of the church? What idea can I come up with? What talent have I got? You know what I mean? So even if it's like a suggestions box at the back of the church, and you just got to, you sit here and you think of an idea and like, right, I'll write it down. I'm going to put that in. That's an event, or that's something I would like to do. Or, you know what I mean? I think I've rambled long enough now, but you know, thank you for that sermon. It's meant a lot to me. And yeah, I think we just really need to sort of get some fire in our belly and get involved.
Well done. Yep. Yeah.